This is The Source on KSTX 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. When I was a kid, going to Brackenridge Park meant riding the paddle boats, driving through the river's low crossing, taking the sky ride, maybe riding the horses, checking out the alligator gardens. That's how long ago that was. But it shows you that the park has gone through lots and lots of changes over the years. It's not been static, and it's getting ready to take another big change. A proposed plan would kick out the cars and take back the parking lots and give it back to the park with more green space. But what about the traditional use of the park, driving in, dropping off the barbecue pit, the tent, the bounce house? How's that going to work for families? We call in, ask your questions, get your answers. Numbers 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org and tweet us at tprsource. We're joined by the San Antonio Parks Director, Xavier Urita. He is with the City of San Antonio Parks Director. Jay Loudon is the principal architect at the firm Workshop, and he's also on the Brackenridge Master Plan team. And Lynn Bobbitt, she is the executive director of the Brackenridge Park Conservancy. And welcome to The Source, all of y'all.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So let me ask you, Lynn, at the Conservancy, what's happening here?
Well, the Conservancy was formed in 2009. We're a nonprofit, and we are really the only organization that is solely dedicated to acting as the advocate for the park, to speaking up for its activity and improvements that can be done there. We are the organization that is dedicated to speaking for the users of the park and to improving the experience for the visitor to the park. And as an agreement with the city, memorandum of understanding, we have been working closely with Xavier and the Parks Department and the planning team to create a vision for the park. As you just mentioned, the park has changed over time, and now we have an amazing opportunity. This is the first time since 1979 that an update to the master plan for Brackenridge Park is being considered. There was a chance for that in 1997, but this is really a comprehensive look at what the park can be going into the future and protecting it for generations. It is the park for the entire city, for all of the districts, not just one and two in which it is located.
So did you take a study about how the park is being used today and evaluate what are some of the weaknesses? Because the park is as old as San Antonio, pretty much. It has changed over the years. And as the city modernized, different uses for the park. So what are you seeing?
Yes, there has been great conversation among stakeholders, the various cultural attractions that are in and around the park. There have been meetings, more than 30 of them, with individual groups, educational institutions, neighborhood organizations, in conjunction with the master plan team and the Parks Department and Conservancy. And the people were asked, how do you use the park? What do you see as challenges? What do you see as opportunities? How can we move forward into this 21st century and save and preserve this treasure, this swath of green space that is in our urban center? And that conversation is continuing. This is an opportunity for all citizens to comment on the park, to see how we can come together and pursue a planning process to enhance it and to improve it and to restore some of the structures and resources that are there.
So Xavier Urizia, over at the City of San Antonio, you're now the Parks Director. What's the involvement process? How do people voice what their vision is?
So like Lynn mentioned, there's been a number of stakeholder meetings and actually public meetings as well to let the general public come to. We are actually going to add another public meeting. The intent has always been to be a very inclusive process to get the public input on this park. As Lynn mentioned, it is a citywide park. It is an asset to the whole park system. There's a lot of history, a lot of cultural significance to the park. Beyond that, what would people think that they use today, but what the park used to be used as in the past as well. So we are adding another meeting on June 14th at 6 p.m. at the Garden Center, located at New Braunfels and Funston. That's another public chance for the public to provide input. And we also are doing some direct outreach, as well as putting some things online and through social media that people can email us with any comments they may have regarding the draft master plan. But ultimately, what we want to see is a way to preserve and protect and actually enhance and make sure that this park is around for another multiple centuries to come, because it so closely reflects the history of San Antonio, prehistorically, Spanish colonial, you know, from 18th century. Just, I mean, Brackenridge is really a microcosm of San Antonio, and we think it's important enough that everyone needs to comment in on it.
How do people know that this voicing their concern process is, I mean, you've got a plan. It seems pretty well thought out. I mean, are you just going to run with that, or how do we know that their voices are going to be actually listened to, Xavier?
So from the draft that's out there right now, that is actually from input that was received from the number of meetings and stakeholders and the public hearing. But what we're looking at is, okay, so sometimes people need a little bit more visual, they need a little bit formulation. But at the end of the day, what we're talking about is really a vision for Brackenridge Park. And how we get there, that will come with time. You know, when we talk about some of the components, some of the things that we want to see happen in the park, that's the implementation part that is worked out, you know, as projects, as we look at how do we, for example, make the park more pedestrian friendly. So how do we do that? We're not saying that's going to happen overnight. We're not saying that there's a cookie cutter way to do that, but is everyone on board and saying, yeah, you know what, at the end of the day, we think it's more important that people are able to walk in the park and not have to dodge cars or worry about, you know, coming out of a trail and a car, you know, coming out of nowhere. If that's the main concern and goal, then that's how we work toward that vision.
So the vision would include this tram that would help people get around. Is that it, Jay?
Sure. Yeah, that's part of it. I would start out here by saying that the park is nearly 400 acres. It kind of varies on how you count it. Of that, over 70 acres out of nearly 400 is pavement. That is not really what we think of when we think of parks. And so really the key to the master plan is to figure out how to make the park work the way it should by getting rid of some of the asphalt, but maintaining all of the access to all of the areas of the park. And that circulator, people mover, is one way to accomplish that goal of keeping people in the park, of getting people deeper into the park than they are now, in fact, while still being able to not drain a parking lot into the San Antonio River, for example.
All right, so is Brackenridge Park a park for cars or a place for people? Call in. We want to hear your questions, your comments. What do you want to see happen to Brackenridge Park? We'll get in a little deeper about how this would work, what the proposed vision is. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Too much of Brackenridge Park is for parking. How can more of the 343 acres be given back to the people and to green space? A new plan for the old park is being developed that kicks out the cars, designs a new entrance, and changes the feel of Brackenridge Park. But how will this impact the park's users? Call in. We want to hear what your expectations are. The number is 210-614-8980. And with us on the line is Jose Menendez. And Jose, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks, David.
Is this Senator Jose Menendez?
Yes, it is.
Okay, all right, great.
I've been driving back from Austin, and I've been listening with a great deal of interest, as I agree completely with the premise of getting rid of more of the pavement and preserving the park for a long, long time. My only concern, or one of my biggest concerns, is that we don't take the use of the park for families that have had historic traditions of holidays and sometimes doing the only camping that they're able to do, and sometimes you hear of Easter traditions that have gone on for years and years and years. And that is a huge concern for me, because I think that sometimes Brackenridge Park has been the oasis for many families that otherwise would financially be maybe left out of the ability to go camping somewhere or feel like they've gone away for a weekend.
Absolutely. All right, Senator, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. We'll address those concerns. And so Lynn Bobbitt is Executive Director of the Brackenridge Park Conservancy.
Yes, the Senator does bring up a good point that we would like to clarify. The conversation is to reclaim additional green space, as Jay mentioned. So perhaps there would be more camping space if a grand lawn is created in the future and phased in. The history of the park is very important. The layers of the culture there going back 10,000 years, moving on forward through the Spanish colonial period up onto the 1870s and the WPA up to the present. Many, many layers. And we have brought a gentleman named Charles Birnbaum to look at the park. He's the CEO of the Cultural Landscape Foundation based in Washington, D.C. And as he looked at the park, he had not been there before. He'd been to San Antonio, but he was so impressed with what he saw and the culture there, which is Easter, which is you remembering the paddle boats, which is going to the zoo, which is spending the day in the park, which is what we would like to happen, that you park and you move your car once, but you make it your destination. And he is recommending that we designate the park a National Historic Landmark. And the reason for that is the cultural landscape that is exhibited there. And for example, there are 87,000 National Register listings. The Brackenridge Park is listed on the National Register of Historical Places, but there are only 2,800 National Historic Landmarks, of which we could be one.
Sure, but getting back to the use of the park. So if you have streets, sometimes streets can be open, sometimes streets can be closed. Is that the idea? So maybe as you ramp up towards a big holiday weekend, you're saying we're going to open up the streets because people do want to drop things off and they do want to camping. Maybe not everyone is as ambulatory. You can get around as easily as you and I. And are those things that we consider, Jay?
Absolutely. And I think Xavier alluded to it in the beginning. The park gets used differently, different days of the week, different times of the year. Easter is the prime example of an extraordinarily unusual use for the park, which is incredibly vital to the city of San Antonio. So,
but that's 1 week out of 52.
It is. So that 1 week out of 52, it would be possible to devote this grand open space to camping specifically, where right now there's a parking lot. You could have more tent sites there. The roadways could be used in just that 1 week and weekend to get people into the park to drop off their barbecue pits or tents or whatever else, and then come back out and park in a parking garage instead of next to the river. We really see the plan as an opportunity to enhance those uses, to make Easter even better than it is.
So will you be looking at actual use, numbers of people who use the park, and is the expectation to increase the number of people using the park? Is that the plan?
It is, yes.
Okay, all right. So let's get another caller on the air, Ron. Hi, Ron. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you. My concern is those people who are not pedestrians in general, and I'm more like to drive through the park occasionally, might bring my grandkids to play, and I can say that if the roads are closed, I will never enter the park again. It will involve just too much commitment. So I think the program is there just to help one group of people, those so-called pedestrians, whoever they might be.
You mean like enthusiastic runners and bikers and people like that, Ron?
Yes. People who are there now but would like it better if there were no cars.
Okay, and so if there was a tram, they've talked about a tram that would pick people up from the periphery of the park and bring them into the deeper into it, would that be something that would be?
No, I read about this in the newspaper, and a tram is just too much trouble for a casual visit to the park. It involves just too much commitment and time and effort.
Okay.
So I wouldn't do it.
All right, Ron, thanks for your call. Appreciate that. I remember riding a tram at downtown Joski's, getting to had to park so far away. But so Lynn, you hear Ron expressing his concerns.
Well, historically, the park developed around streets. The first donation from Colonel Brackenridge was in 1899, and thereafter, 1900, people flocked from the downtown, and it was a way to get out of the downtown and the hustle and bustle and be outdoors, and there were paths for the early cars. So historically, many of the streets that are there are not going away. They're going to be multi-purposed. Wouldn't you say that, Jay?
Yes, that's accurate.
Okay, all right. Maria Berriozabal is on the line. Let's hear from her. And Maria, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you very much for giving me this opportunity to speak. I found out about this master plan about 2 weeks ago, maybe 2.5 weeks ago. I was very surprised, and the person who told me was somebody who had shown up at the meeting at the Botanical Gardens. I went and I read as much as I could. I wrote a letter to some of my most active friends in the city from all professions. Mrs. Bobbitt has seen that letter. I sent it to Councilman Trevino and other council people. And my big, big concern is when I read the Memorandum of Understanding that was voted by the City Council back last year, it called for 2 public hearings. And 2 public hearings have already been held. Now, I tuned into your program when the gentleman was talking about another public hearing. To me, Brackenridge Park is part of what we describe as the commons. It's the idea that all people need to have input into what their public spaces, what they're like, what the uses are. And I have seen so far a total exclusion of many users of the park. And maybe things have changed, and I hope that the council puts the brakes on this and calls on the public for comments. But these public hearings have to be held in the west side, in the east side, in the south side, in the places where the users are, working class people. This park, to us, it's a beloved park. Brack is the place for piñatas and birthday parties and, of course, the big Easter celebration. So one thing is what the plan contains. Another one is process, and that the process has to be open. It has to be appropriate for the diverse population that we have in this city. And I hope that public hearings are held with the opportunity for people to give their input, what they think. Should be
sure.
done.
So let me get a response here from the Parks Director, Xavier Urrutia. Go ahead.
So we're nowhere near the end of the master plan process. So I don't think it's a question of necessarily putting on the brakes. We are in that public input process on some of these draft vision ideas. And I think the bigger piece, well, you know, we talked about we are adding some public meetings, and while we think it's important that we have everyone's input, we do, you know, we are kind of constrained on locations and times, but we're trying to do that also digitally, and we know there's challenges with people not having access to internet, but we're trying multiple ways to engage the public. And getting the word out there that they can view the master plan and get us comment on it. But at the end of the day, I don't believe the master plan has really looked at trying to change use of the park. I think what the vision is how do we look at different ways to enhance the feel of the park, enhance that experience within the park. Nowhere in the draft master plan does it talk about not allowing these activities to occur. I think I do agree. We have to look at how do we mitigate if, you know, for whatever reason, roads are taken out or if access is limited by private cars. How do we help continue those traditions, keep those uses there? Because at the end of the day, that's what we want. We want the park used. And so it is important that we have the birthday parties, the kids' first birthday party at Brackenridge Park, the hanging of the piñata in the tree and confetti. I mean, all those are critical, important layers in the history of the park. Our desire is not to change the use of the park. It's to enhance and make sure that it's protected and preserved and that continues to move forward. So, again, we've added another public hearing on June 14th. We're looking at other methods to try to gather input, whether that's digitally, through social media, or how do we make the master plan, the draft, available in different areas where people can see it and comment on it. But that is an important piece to us. And again, we're looking at not having a finished product until late in the summer. So to us, we still have lots of time to get that input.
And Jay Loudon, over at, you're the principal architect over at the workshop. One issue I'm hearing from folks is the concern that they're going to be losing park space, but actually we're going to be gaining park space, even if we don't lose the parking lot, because there's so much fragmentation of the park, and even bringing in Mankey Park to connect to it, and we're creating more space, there would be more opportunities for families.
Absolutely. So talking about reclaiming the parking lot for open space, one of the things that we saw in initial studies of the park was that so much of it is devoted to uses that prohibit just free open usage on an average day. What can we do to increase the area available to that? So when we talk about garages, we're not putting them in the park. We're putting them on non-park land at the perimeter, and that lets us recapture a lot of that land. Talking about connecting to Mankey Park and up to the San Antonio Botanical Gardens, not a lot of people know that's actually a historical connection all the way back to the first waterworks, the original land donations by George Brackenridge. There was a pump house. There is a pump house in the
park. That was before we knew we had an aquifer.
Yeah, exactly.
And we would draw our water from the river, bring it up
really
to where
the technology. Absolutely.
And then we'd have to bring the water downhill to get to the people. And so that all changed when we got put. So it shows you how Brackenridge Park is a vital part of San Antonio, and it's not going to go away. It's always going to be available to people. We just have to figure out what the people want and give them what they want in the best way possible. And we'll see how that develops. And the conversation is important, so we'll keep those lines open. We'll let people know what's happening. I want to thank all our guests, and when we come back from the break, we're talking about school finance and the Texas Supreme Court. This is The Source on KSTX.